Open to the book of Nehemiah, chapter number 2, the book of Nehemiah, chapter 2. Our Old Testament book that we're studying together is the book of Nehemiah, and we've come to chapter number 2. I'd like to say that I was away from the place here on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, speaking at Crown College for their International Baptist Friends meeting, Independent Baptist Friends International meeting on Thursday and Friday. I went down to be with Brother Devin Smith, one of our former teenagers who graduated from Crown and doing a great work down in the Atlanta area. And I was with him yesterday morning at a 3-on-3 basketball tournament. First time they've done it. And had 20 young men come, 10 visitors, and 6 or 7 of them made professions of faith, asking Jesus Christ to come into their heart. One of them was one of the boys' daddies who responded to the gospel. And he's excited about how the Lord's using that. I share that with you because I just want to tell you that God is doing a work around this world. And he's still saving people. And if he was not going to save anybody else, the rapture would have already taken place. Amen. He wants to save people. And we want to get in on it. And God can use all of us to reach mankind with the gospel. Nehemiah chapter 2, verse number 11. We've come to this verse in our study, preached all day last week, God willing, preach all day this week on it. We've come to chapter 2, verse 11. So I came to Jerusalem and was there 3 days. And I rose in the night, I and some few men with me, neither told I any man what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem, neither was there any beast with me save the beast that I rode upon. If you'll skip down to verse number 18, it says, then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. If you mark your Bible, I want you to mark 3 words in verse number 19. It's the last 3 words of the verse. This good work. This good work. But let's pray together and I'll share this thought with you. Our Father, we love you today. We thank you for this great host of people who have come out to hear your word preached. And Lord, I pray that you make it obvious to them that they have come to a church that's going to open the Bible and simply share what you've already said in your word. Help us to be a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church. May the will of God be done today and help me as I preach this. I stand in dependence upon thee. I confess before you and before all these people, I have got to have your help. I am conscious of the fact that I cannot do this on my own. I need you today. And if somebody's here lost, I pray that you'll save them before they leave this place. And we who are saved, help us to give our lives to this good work that you've called us to do, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now thus far in this glorious book, we've seen some wonderful truths. First of all, last week in chapter 1, we've already seen how Nehemiah was a man with an exalted position. He was the king's cupbearer. Now this was a position that was given to a person of high character and trustworthiness. However, even though he was a man of this position, he still loved his own people and his city very much. And because of this, he asked some men who were visiting with him concerning his people and his city. This is all in chapter 1. And once he heard of the terrible conditions of the people and the broken down walls of the city around him, he sits down, he weeps, he fasts, and he begins to pray. Then in chapter 2, we've already noticed last week how Nehemiah was a man of passion. He had a passion to go to his city and his people and to build it again. He just had to do something about the awful conditions that he had heard about. The Lord Jesus answers his prayers beyond what Nehemiah asked for, and the king gives him an armed guard to go to Jerusalem. And as we come to verse number 8 of chapter 2, this is all last week, we see Nehemiah is giving the Lord all the praise for his wonderful work on his behalf. Now we've come to chapter 2, verse 11, all the way down through verse number 20. And as I was studying this week and meditating on this portion of Scripture, I must admit that at first I was struggling some with what the main thought was. Because see, Mr. Kaiser taught me back in homiletics class, when you read a portion of Scripture, find out what is the main thought. What's this passage talking about? And at first, I was having a struggle trying to figure that out. But I want to tell you that as I was seeking the Lord, he opened up my understanding of this passage.
in such a way that I give him all the glory. Because the phrase that popped off the page to me was the three words in verse number 18. It's the three words, this good work. There's no doubt that what Nehemiah is attempting to do for the glory of God is a good work. This work of rebuilding the walls that had been broken down in order for protection to keep the outsiders out and for separation to keep insiders in so they don't intermingle with the heathen, that, my friend, is a good work. It's important that we realize that this work of the book of Nehemiah is a good work. This is why he did not mind taking the approximately 3-month journey. Did you hear what I said? 3 months approximately to journey from the palace of Shushan all the way back to Jerusalem. This is why he was not content with being the king's cupbearer. This is why he sat down and he wept and he fasted and he prayed. This is why he was willing to risk his own life by being sad in the king's presence. This is why when he heard the news of destruction, he just had to do something about it. This is why he didn't let opposition all the way through the book stop him. Why? Because he realized in his heart, Nehemiah knew that this was a good work. This is a good work. And in the same way, we must realize that any work that is pleasing to the Lord Jesus Christ, whether it be building a strong marriage, whether it be loving the enemy, whether it be evangelizing the world, whether it be encouraging a saint, whatever work that has God's blessing on it is a good work this morning, people, and worthy of our attention and worthy of the time that it takes to accomplish it. Now, I want to give you some things today. As a matter of fact, I'm preaching the same message this morning and tonight, Lord willing. I'm not talking about the same points. I'm just saying I've got so many points, it's going to take me 2 messages to get through it, you understand? I'm going to give you some things about this good work right from this text here. First of all, we notice the author of it. Who's the author of this good work? I'm talking about the work that made Nehemiah weep. I'm talking about the work that made Nehemiah fast. I'm talking about the work that made Nehemiah discontent with his exalted position. I'm talking about the work that shook Nehemiah out of his complacency and shook Nehemiah out of his lethargy and realized, I'm no longer content to be here in the palace. I've got to go do something about it. Who's the author of that work? Who's the author of the one of, I'm talking about, who put this in Nehemiah's heart? Who authored this work of going back and spending time and getting ridiculed and getting mocked and getting opposed? Who's the author of this good work? We find it in verse 12. Because the word of God tells us, and I arose in the night, I and some few men with me, neither told I, get this, any man what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem. I want you to notice with me how Nehemiah is careful to identify where this good work of building the walls and helping the distressed people came from. It was not his idea. It was not his emotionalism, but rather it was the working of Almighty God in his heart to rise up and do something about this. God was so working in his heart that he could not sit still. He could not just not do anything. God was so working in his heart that he was no longer satisfied with the status quo of the day. God was so working in his heart that he just had to get involved in order to help meet that need. There had been others who had come and gone, but the Lord put something different in Nehemiah's heart. God was authoring this great work. It wasn't Nehemiah's idea. It was God's idea. God was the author of this great work. And in the same way, we should strive to be more like Nehemiah by letting the Lord put in our hearts what he wants to be there. We should have a desire to fulfill whatever the Lord wants us to do in our lives. We should let the Lord be the author of our lives and send us anywhere he wants us to go and help us do anything that he wants us to do. There are broken down walls all around us. There's broken lives, broken homes, broken relationships, broken promises. And these people need the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants us to reach them. And one way he does this is he authors a vision in which he puts the desire to do something about these broken down walls in the hearts of his own children. Now I ask you a question. What is it that God is trying to author in your heart today? What is it that God's trying to put in your heart? I've got to be honest with you. I've got something in my heart. I want to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want to reach this area. I want to reach this world. I want to reach this nation. And I believe that anybody, anywhere, at any time can trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. I believe and I know and I believe it because it's the Bible teaching, the Word of God teaches that Jesus Christ died for the sins of the entire world. And since He died for them, He wants to reach them. And He authored a vision in Nehemiah's heart. He put it in Nehemiah's heart in such a way that Nehemiah just had to act upon it. How we need that in our churches. We need to give our lives to God in such a way that God puts what He wants in our hearts. Can you imagine people who gives themselves so much to the Lord that they no longer want to put their own stuff in? Let me ask you a question. What you're doing with your life, is it what God wants or what you want? Is it what you want? Because if it is, it'll burn up one of these days. But if it's what God wants, it'll only help you. It'll help other people, just like in the book of Nehemiah. The author of this good work is God. What does God want you to do with your life? What's He want you to do? There's a second thing. Not only the author of it, but number two, the appraisal of it. There's an appraisal given in verses 13 through 17. Matter of fact, let's read it. Nehemiah said, "And I went out by night by the gate of the valley, even before the dragon wailed, to the dung port, and viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down. The gates thereof were consumed with fire. And I went on to the gate of the fountain of the king's pool, but there was no place for the beast that was under me to pass. Then went I up in the night by the brook and viewed the wall and turned back and entered by the gate of the valley and so returned. The rulers knew not whither I went or what I did, neither had I as yet told it to the Jews, nor to the priests, nor to the nobles, nor to the rulers, nor to the rest that did the work. Then said I unto them," here's his appraisal, "you see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire." See, in these verses, we see Nehemiah taking a survey trip in the night. And he's taking this survey trip in the night to see the conditions of the walls. As a matter of fact, we see how precise of a survey this was by the careful wording that he gives in the Bible. Notice in verse number 13 how he went out by the gate of the valley and made a complete circle back to the same gate in verse 15. He walked around the whole city, the whole broken down wall. This is also shown, I'm talking about his precise survey, in the fact of how careful he brought out how there was no place for his beast to pass in verse 14. You know what all of this says to me? How careful a language he's using. He went out from the gate of the valley, he returned to the gate of the valley, he walked around the city, he even came to a place where his beast couldn't even pass under. You know what all this tells me? Some people just read that and say, "Well, what? Why is that even in the Bible?" Well, it's there for a reason, or God wouldn't have inspired it. And the reason he put it there, folks, listen to this. This goes to show that Nehemiah made a very diligent search of the broken down walls. He was very thorough. He was not half-hearted. Then in verse number 17, we see him giving his appraisal, here it is, of the conditions of the people and of the city. Notice how he mentions how they were all in distress. Verse 7, this is his appraisal. He's appraising this good work. This good work has an appraisal in it. In other words, there's some things true that makes it a good work. And that is, he said, "You see how we're in distress." That word distress means misery. It means trouble. It means sorrow and affliction. Then he goes on to say how the city lieth waste. That word waste means ruined. Then he shares how the gates of the city were burned. In all of this, we see the appraisal of the good work was truly one that needed to be done. People were hurting. The city was in shambles. It wasn't a matter as this might be true. No, it was true. These people, they're in sorrow. They're in misery. They're in trouble. They're in affliction. They're in distress. That's the truth. That's the way it was. This city, it's not that it might be destroyed. It was lying in ruins. And the point I'm trying to make here about this good work of get up and do something for God. Get up. Don't rest content. Don't be satisfied with the status quo. Get up and get a hammer. Get some nails. Start fastening some boards together. Why should you do that? Because the appraisal of it is still the same. People are still in misery. They still need Jesus Christ. The cities are lying waste all over America and around the world. What I want to make here is when Nehemiah opened his eyes, he saw the need for this good work. And as he looked, he saw the true need to do something about it. And in the same way, we need to open our eyes to the needs of those around us. There are hurting people and broken down walls every single place we look. Do a spiritual appraisal in the Word of God and see how desperate of a condition others are truly in. John chapter 4, verse 35, Jesus said, "Say not ye, there yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes, look on the fields, for they're white already to harvest." Let me tell you one reason why some of you, God bless your heart, don't have a burden for souls, because you never go after them. You don't go where they live. You don't see the conditions they're in. Some people don't have a burden for soul winning because they don't do a spiritual appraisal in the Word of God where the Bible says that they're lost, undone, heading for the lake of fire. By the way, some people think that listen, Pastor Jody, you're old-fashioned. You're preaching on hell. You've got it. If you don't mind, I'm just going to stay old-fashioned. I'll tell you why, because the Bible is old-fashioned. And because of that, it's still the same truth today. And if God says there's a lake of fire, there is a lake of fire, my friends. I didn't say it. I'll be honest with you, I wish it wasn't true. But my belief doesn't change facts. Neither does yours. I don't believe there's a lake of fire. I just don't believe that a loving God would send anybody to hell. And you are exactly right. You and I agree. Because God sends nobody to hell. They send themselves. God's the one in His love that sent His only begotten Son, so you don't have to go to a place like that. That is the God of love. But He's also a God of His Word, and He said, "Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire." What am I saying? I'm saying Nehemiah gave an appraisal. He got up, he went to the need, and he saw it himself. You know what's changed my life? Pretty much every time I've gone, a mission trip. I remember being in Mexico City. In Mexico, I think it was Mexico City where we were at this time. This has been years ago. And we were at this beautiful hotel. I mean, absolutely gorgeous. And as soon as we got in the vehicle and started driving off, just not long, I'm talking about just like a hop, skip, and jump, away from that beautiful palace were shamble houses the size of probably a third of this platform. And listen, I realize preachers exaggerate, and I have been guilty of doing that in the past. Like, you know, at least there's 5,000 here today, you understand? But I'm not exaggerating. This house was probably from here to there. They're houses just like that. Have no windows. Just sheets hanging. There's no door on that place. Just a sheet for a doorway. And it's amazing when you see it for yourself what it does to your heart. At this meeting down at Crown, one of the most moving services I was in. Some of you may have been seeing it live. It was Friday night. In between Johnny Pope and Raymond Barber, pastor heard of a young man who's a preacher, has Down syndrome, but he's a preacher. And Dr. Sexton had him come, and all those thousands of people there, and you couldn't hardly understand him, but they had his message up here, so when he would make a statement, you could see it up here because they were typing it out for you. And he got up and you couldn't understand. He's like, "Dream big dreams." Down syndrome, young man. "Dream big dreams. God's a big God. And I saw that young man, and God broke my heart. There's a young man that God is using. Somebody said, I believe it was his daddy. His daddy is the founder of Master Club, Brother Gary. Is it Ab Thomas? Am I right with saying that? That's his daddy, the founder of Master Club. And he said, me and my daddy had a dream that 100,000 kids would be in Master Club someday, and they've got it. You know what changed my heart? When I saw him get up. God's been so burdened in my heart for special needs children. They're all over our area. And God can save them and use them like he could save you and use me. God's been burdened in my heart. I remember I was talking to Tommy Sexton, and he was here during our last conference last summer. And he was challenging me. He said, Jody, he said, you need to do a study of the demographics of your area. In other words, find out how many of this type of people, and he specifically mentioned the special education children. God was working in my heart. And he made this statement. He said, I want you to think about those special education children in your area. He said, do you know of a church anywhere doing anything for them? Now maybe they're out there, I don't know, but I don't know of one. And he said, let's say that there's 50 in your area, and you understand there's more than that. There's a lot more than that. But he said, if that's the case, he said, there's 50 families who can't go to church. They have nothing for their kids. You know the interesting thing about that? Is when he left, I was over at Daniel Boone High School. I believe it was the next day. See, God has his ways of confirming things. And as I was walking through the cafeteria, now keep in mind, he just told me about the special education children, the special needs. And God was working in my heart. And when I was walking through there, there was a lady that I knew. And on each arm, she had a special education teenager. And when I walked by them, one of those special education teenagers broke away from her and came up to me and put his arm around my neck and just stared at my face. God was showing me something. Now, we haven't started anything yet, but God willing, we're going to in the near future. You say, that's hard work. Yeah, but it's a good one. Amen. Hey, it's hard. Yeah, but hey, this is a good work. It's a good work because those walls can be built. And Nehemiah got out and he saw the need. He saw an appraisal and he said, let me tell you something. Here's what I've seen. The city is in ruins. The people are in distress. There's the appraisal for this good work. We've noticed the author of it, the appraisal of it. Number three, let's notice the appeal for it. Verses 17 and 18. Then said I unto them, you see the distress that we're in, how Jerusalem lieth in waste, the gates thereof burn with fire. Come. Notice his appeal. Come. Let us build the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more reproach. Then I told him of the hand of my God that was good upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. In this I see an appeal. Nehemiah says, God's put something in my heart. This is not my idea, it's God's. He gives an appraisal and says, by the way, it's needed. The people are in distress. The walls are ruined. Then number three, he starts appealing for workers. After Nehemiah realizes God has placed this burden on his heart and he's done a spiritual survey of the need, he turns his attention to the people and he begs them, he appeals to them for their help in this good work. There were others who were there. Get this, there were others who had seen what Nehemiah saw. But God had placed it in his heart to do something about it. One man was rising to build the walls again. Nehemiah doesn't use his influence to belittle the people who were seemingly not interested. And there are people who are saved, born again, and they're not interested in helping other people. I don't understand that. I think that person tells you just how ungodly they are right now. But Nehemiah didn't use his influence to belittle people. You know, there are preachers that get up and say, bless God, if you don't get up and do something, you're trash.
You're not going to hear me say that, because that's not true. None of God's creation is trash. Amen?
But you will hear me get up just like I'm getting ready to do and appeal to you. Not belittle you, but try to rally you to a common goal of building the wall of Jerusalem. Nehemiah said this. He said, I have seen the need. I have put my time into this, and I realize that God is working in my heart. But Nehemiah understood something. And this is the first point under this. There's three things about this appeal I want you to see. Nehemiah knew something. He knew he couldn't do it alone. He knew he needed help. So my first point under this, the appeal for it, is it was an appeal for cooperation. Because in verse number 17, notice his language, the latter part. He says, and let us build. Let us build. Notice in this verse how Nehemiah did not tell him to rise up and build. He rather said, let us rise up and build. This tells me that Nehemiah was also seeing his part in this good work. He was simply saying, let's cooperate together to get this good work done for the glory of God. See, Nehemiah realized he was only one man. And he realized that this work required the help and cooperation of others. This is what Nehemiah was appealing for. He knows this is a good work. He knows this is a work that would please his God. But he knew it was bigger than himself. He needed help. Can you hear his appeal? Here's a broken-hearted man. And he knows in his heart that God has put it in his heart to rebuild those walls. He knows it. This is the will of God. But as he looks around that entire city and sees all of this, he recognizes what God has called me to do. I cannot get it done myself. I need help. He didn't try to do it all himself. He was begging other people to get involved in a common goal. And that is, let's build the wall together. You know, in the same way, folks, get this. There are good works for the Lord that is bigger than one person can do. For instance, the work of world evangelism. I'm talking about getting the gospel around the world. Is that a good work? Is it? But it's too big for one person. It'll take some cooperation of God's children coming together to work at building that wall. In a world where it seems as if many of God's children are divided on different issues. Now, I'm not talking about the truth now. I'm not talking about compromising the truth. I'm not talking about changing your music and changing the versions of the Bible and changing your sound. I'm not talking about that. That's truth. But I'm talking about nitpicky stuff. I'm talking about stuff that's preferences. I'm talking about stuff that's not in the Bible. It's just preferences. There are many of God's children who get hung up on that, and they divide from them. Can't have fellowship with them. And that's why we're not getting this world evangelized. Amen. Now, I'm independent Baptist to the core. And we're not going to compromise the truth. But I'm not going to get in nitpicky battles either, folks. We've got a work to do, and it's a good work. It's world evangelism. And we can't do that ourselves. We need help. By the way, I can't reach everybody in this city. I need help. Now, that doesn't relieve me of my duty. I need to do a lot more than I'm doing, and I'll be the first to tell you that. But let me ask you a question. What are you doing to help in it? I don't know how to do it. Soul winning seminar tonight at 5:30. Come prove it. I just don't know how to say that. Come 5:30 tonight. Soul winning seminar. We'll teach you how to do it. And even partner you up with somebody who knows how to do it. So you can go out and learn for yourself. There's no excuses, folks. There's no excuses. You say, this is convicting. That's what the Bible does. It convicts you. It was an appeal for cooperation, secondly. By the way, here's another good work that you have to have cooperation. Building a good marriage. You tell me, does it take two to have a good marriage? You better believe it. You can work your heart out, but if your spouse is not in it, you got problems. Right or wrong, folks? That's another good work. That there's an appeal for cooperation. Let's unite. Let's do this. Secondly, it was an appeal. Not only for cooperation, but it was an appeal with a cause. We see this in verse 17. Then said I unto them, ye see the distress that we're in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come, let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. Now notice in this that he's saying, what we're getting ready to do, it has a cause. Why should we build this? That we be no more a reproach. That word reproach means a disgrace or a shame. In other words, why should they rise up and build? Why? Because they were a reproach. They were being reproached all around them. They were being scorned and mocked as if the Lord had forsaken them. However, if they would unite together and build the wall in the face of opposition, it would help remove this reproach. Now, in the same way, there are those whom the devil and his evil companions laugh at. You mark it down. If you have something in your heart that you're going to do for God, they're going to laugh at you. They're going to mock you. And I'm going to say something to you here. However, if God's people would unite for the cause of Christ in their lives, this reproach would turn into a blessing to other people. What Nehemiah is saying, he's appealing with them. And he says, this appeal is for us to cooperate. Let's get along. Let's unite around the truth and let's do this for God. And he says, by the way, just in case there's people out there asking, why should we? Because there is a cause. We are being reproached, and that reproach can be turned into a blessing. Thirdly, it was an appeal with comfort and confirmation. We see this in verse 18. Then I told him of the good hand of my God which was upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build. Now notice in this verse how Nehemiah turns their attention onto the way God had been working on his behalf. See, God had answered prayers. We saw it last week. But God was working for him. God was working in such a way that he got Nehemiah out of Shushan, gave him an armed guard, and got him to Jerusalem. And he's reminding them, wait a minute, I've already showed you. God has already worked in this. God's behind this. He is confirming to us this is his will. That's what he's doing. He's comforting them. Then he shared how even the king, under the direction of the Lord, had given his blessing on this work. Now this goes to show that Nehemiah was comforting the people with how the Lord had been working to confirm this good work. That's what he was doing. He was appealing with comfort that God was in it and with confirmation that God's hand of approval was upon it. And in the same way, we need to get clear direction from God as to what the walls are that he wants us to build. Then we need to take notice at how he works to help bring these things to pass. And after this, we need to point people to the Lord and how he is the one who is behind this movement and show others how this is not your own idea, but rather the Lord Jesus Christ will. And we need to pour our lives into following the Lord Jesus Christ will and getting others involved in helping us. Do you see this? For instance, when I preached in this conference on truth, friendship, and world evangelism, Pastor Sexton gets up and says, it's about the truth. You cannot compromise the truth. But yet God wants the world evangelized, and the bridge, what he thinks, is friendship, uniting together. Under the truth. Don't compromise the truth. And let's work together to get the gospel out to the regions beyond. God laid a message on my heart for that conference. And it was the message in 1 Timothy chapter 1 on the man Christ Jesus. I've preached it here. But on that, my 3 points were his will, his work, and his witness. And the whole emphasis of that message was this. This conference is not about Pastor Sexton. This conference is not about me. This conference is not about Buffalo Ridge. This conference is not about Temple Baptist Church. This conference is not about anybody's church that was represented there. But this conference is about the will of Jesus Christ. And in the same way, we need to find the will of God and give our lives to do it. And beg others to come help us so we can reach our Jerusalem, our Judea, our Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. Nehemiah, we're halfway through. We're looking at this good work. It has an author. He's God. It has an appraisal. There's a need for it. It has an appeal. Let's come together. There is a cause. And God's stamp of approval is on it. Now we'll pick up there tonight, Lord willing. But I wonder, look at me please. Don't close your Bible. Get out of that habit, folks. Get out of the habit that whenever you realize that a preacher is coming to a close, you come to a close. Get out of that habit. Because you realize at the end of the message is when the appeal happens. And it's interesting that at the end of the message, when the appeal starts to happen, the application starts coming together, that people... and they miss it. So look right here. What's God saying to you? Are you involved in this good work? The work of God. If you're not, let me appeal to you. Let's cooperate. Amen. And let's come together and let's knock every single solitary door in this area. Every one of them. Now I'm laying groundwork, folks. It'll all make sense in the very near future. Let's get after it. And let's rise and build the walls for the glory of Almighty God. Let's bow together, please, and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Lord, I love you today. And I pray for this message that you'll use it. God, help these dear people who have chosen to come here today. God, bless them. And I pray that you speak to them. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. They're beginning to play through softly as soon as they get prepared there. I always want to be a preacher that starts with the main thing, and the main thing is this: do you know the Lord as your Savior? Has there been a time in your life where you've trusted Christ and Christ alone? If you say, Jody, I do not have assurance in my heart that heaven's my home. If you do not have that assurance, I'm not going to come to your seat. I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to embarrass you. I promise you that. But in a crowd this size, there is potential that there may be some lost people here. If you're here today and you say, Jody, would you pray for me? I do not know for sure that heaven's my home. I do not know that. Would you be honest? Would you raise your hand? Anybody like that? I do not know if there's been a time in my life where I've trusted Christ and Christ alone. Would you be honest? Would you raise your hand? Put it right back down. Anybody at all? I'm looking. Then let me ask you this. Are you involved in the good work of God? It may be a good work of building a strong marriage. See, the good work is whatever God's will is. You understand what I'm saying? It may be the good work of loving an enemy. The main thing I want to emphasize is it may be the good work of evangelizing the world, including our area. It starts here for us. Are you involved? How many of you say, Jody, I feel like I am part of the congregation that Nehemiah was speaking to, asking for cooperation. And you say, Jody, I want to be cooperative in this. If God will show me what to do, I'll do it. If you say, Jody, I believe God's speaking to me and I realize that I need to get involved.
And if God will show me what the good work is, I'll do it. If you have a heart like that, would you raise your hand, please? Be an honest person. If you got your hand raised, I want you to lower it just a moment. I want you to look at me. Would you do that? It's a lot of you. God is so working in my heart that I'm putting together a soul winning ministry right now that everybody, no matter who you are, can get involved in it. Whatever kind of talent you have, whatever kind of ability you have, now with the exception of infants, you understand, or babies who can't talk. I'm talking about adults, young adults, older senior saints. You say, Jody, I can't get out of my house hardly. There's something in it for you. It'll all make sense when I give it to you. All God's looking for right now is a willing heart. That's it. It's up to us to spread the vision, right? Because Nehemiah was the one casting the vision. Let's build the walls. And then when they saw what it was, they caught it. They caught that vision. And they said, we'll do it. God's working in your heart, isn't it? Let's cooperate. Let's reach our world. Just a moment, I'll have you respond if you feel like God would have you do that. I wonder, maybe there's somebody here today and you say, Jody, I don't feel like the congregation that Nehemiah spoke to. I feel like Nehemiah. I feel like God is putting something in my heart so strong that I've got to do something about it. Maybe you're like that. You say, I feel like Nehemiah. I know God's working in my heart. There's something that He's putting in my heart that I've just got to do something about it. Be an honest person. Would you raise your hand? Be an honest person when you say that. If you got your hand raised, I want you to listen to me closely. You can put your hands down. I want you to listen to me closely. Whatever it is that you raised your hand about is bigger than you are. And you need help. Learn the lesson of Nehemiah. Go see it yourself. Look at it yourself. Get a good grasp about what needs to happen yourself. Then start casting the appraisal, casting the vision on other people and saying, will you help me with this? It may be your husband. It may be your wife. Maybe a marriage that's falling apart. One of you need to do a spiritual appraisal of it and sit down and beg and appeal for cooperation and the cause that it is a good cause. It's a good work. God help you with this. I'm going to have you respond as well. Let's all stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, take it, use it, bless it in a mighty, mighty way in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Gary's singing. If God is speaking to you, would you leave your place? Would you come? Some may need to come join the church. Whatever God's putting in your heart, whether you're like the congregation, whether you're like Nehemiah, leave your place now. Whether you're a lost person, not sure that heaven's your home, now's your time. Please leave the place. Come right now as Brother Gary sings, please.
All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him, in His presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior. Surrender all to Jesus I surrender, humbly at His feet I bow, worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me Jesus, take me now, I surrender all.
Through softly, if you're still standing there, I'd like you to look this way. God's working in my heart in a great way. And He's going to have to help me to cast that vision of this church. He's going to have to help me do it. And He will. But it's amazing how He's led me to the book of Nehemiah for my next Old Testament book. How it's a book that encourages everybody to get involved. Later on in the book, you'll see that their duty was to stay focused upon the part of the wall that God had given them, and that's it. That's it. And when they stayed glued on their part and did their part with all their heart, and this one did his part, and she did her part, and this one, and this one, and this one, in 52 days they did what they didn't do in 150 years. Did you hear what I just said? 150 years approximately, these walls lie in waste. But when they all united and said, I'm not going to look at him, I'm not going to look at her, I'm just going to do what God's given me. When they united in that under this common cause, this good work, they built the wall in 52 days. Isn't that exciting? What's the point? Do your part. You say, I don't know what it is. Then that's partly my responsibility, where I cast the vision on this church and say, what about this? What about this? We're thinking about this, thinking about this. Need somebody to do this, somebody to do this. And you say, wait a minute, I think I can do that. And there's where you plug yourself in. It'll all make sense in the coming days. I'm so excited about it. It's just not ready yet. But when it's ready, we're going to cast this vision and I'm going to make an appeal. We need this. Somebody's going to have to say, I'll do that part of the wall. I'll take that part of the wall. I'll take that part of the wall. And then the wall starts getting built and chairs start being added. And before you know it, we have to tear this place down and rebuild another one. You say that can't happen, then you don't know God very well, do you? I can't do it myself. Brother Gary can't do it himself. Brother John can't do it himself. Brother Bob can't do it himself. The deacons can't do it ourselves. If we all unite, what God can do, if everybody says, I'll do something. God is in this. This is a good work we're talking about. Reaching people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'm excited you're here. And I hope you're excited to be here. But I will warn you, if you do not want to come to a church that's active and soul winning, then you're in the wrong place. Because we're going after people. Amen. And God wants you to get involved in it. No doubt about it. Amen. I'm going to ask Haley Fields to stand, if you wouldn't mind. Your husband can stand with you there. This is a dear family. And Haley is coming. She wants to join the church by baptism. And the entire family, when she gets baptized, we're going to have a baptismal service in the very near future. That same service, her husband and their daughter are going to come. And as a family, they're going to join the church the same service. Isn't that great? They have a desire to join this church. Just stay standing there just a moment, okay? Jason and Amy Bryce, would you please stand? Amy desires to join this church by statement. Jason desires to join this church by letter from the Fishers Creek Baptist Church in Rogersville. These folks are coming to join the church. They'll join today. They'll join during the baptismal service. What's the pleasure concerning the church about this? God bless you, Brother Butler. Great. Brother Bob, second. All in favor, say aye and raise your hand high. Aye. All opposed, same sign, so carry. Amen. Jesse Kruger, would you please stand if you don't mind, Jesse? Jesse is coming to join the church by letter from the New Victory Baptist Church. And we're happy you're here. What's the pleasure? And you have been saved, you have been baptized, correct? Very good. Immersed, correct? Very good. We are Baptist. Baptism has nothing to do with salvation, but we do believe in the scriptural mode of baptism. What's the pleasure concerning Jesse? Brother Hay, Brother Butler, second. All in favor, say aye and raise your hand high. All opposed, same sign. So carry. All of you are invited to the new members. That's why you came today, isn't it? To get in on that food. No. We're happy to have people joining the church. Amen. And I'm going to have them stand here. If you want to come by and shake their hands, that would be a great thing. Please be back in your place tonight. Prayer meeting at 6:10 in the men's classroom. Soul winning seminar at 5:30 in the chapel. Service at 6:30. If you're a visitor, let me remind you, take your card out, put it on the Welcome Center. Brother Gary and his wife's out there. They're going to greet you.
Well, actually, his wife's here, but he's out there. I'm sorry about that. It's just him. He'll greet you and give you this special gift. Thank you for being here today. Brother Scotty Carrier, sir, if you wouldn't mind to dismiss us in prayer, please.